Weeks ago, we began to lean into hearing God's voice, right? And find, we've been talking about finding our whisper spot, the place where we can hear from God, the place where God speaks to us. And we see throughout Scripture people who find their spot where God speaks. We see Moses at the burning bush and how God spoke to him through the bush. And we see the threshing floor of Gideon, and we see the belly of whale with Jonah. And you know, God is not limited to where he can speak to you or how he can speak to you. And as we lean into hearing his voice, I want us to really lean into that. I want you to find your spot where God speaks to you. And it doesn't have to be the same spot. God can speak to you anywhere, but there are certain places in my life that I know that when I'm in that spot, for whatever reason, God has spoken to me more in that spot, in that place, than anywhere else. And I'm not saying that there's anything more holy or more specific about that place, but it's a place where my mind is completely clear. And we all need to find that space so that we can hear God speak. And we need to listen to what he's saying. The scripture says everyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. We all hear things, but we need to listen to what he's saying. Right? This morning we're going to look at a whisper spot in Judges chapter 6. It tells the story of Gideon and the Lord calling him. And we're going to begin in verse 11 of Judges chapter 6. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Orpha, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Ebenezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.' 'Sir,' Gideon replied, 'if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where did all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say, the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites.' And then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you.' 'But Lord,' Gideon replied, 'how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least of my entire family.' The Lord said to him, 'I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man.'" You know, although the Lord spoke to Gideon under the tree at Orpha, the thing that caught my attention from this conversation wasn't what God said, but it was in verse 13, it was what Gideon's response was. And he said what most everyone in the room has said at one point or another. He said, "Sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? And where are the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?" But his first question said, "If the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us?" I would say that most everyone in this room at some point in your life has asked that question. If you are with us, God, why is this happening? If you are with us, why is this going on in my life? Why are people getting sick? Why are our vehicles breaking down? Why does it feel like I'm on a sinking ship? Why? There have been points and times in my life where things are going on that will be a financial setback. And I remind God of what he says in Malachi chapter 3 when he says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in the temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the window of heaven for you. I will pour out blessings so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try me, put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe." And there have been times in my life where I've said, God, I've been obedient in what you've asked me to do. Why are the pests destroying my crop? God, I need you to show up. I need you to do what only you can do. This week, people in the church were hit with devastating news. And my first response was, God, why? Why? If you're with us, why is this happening to us? Why can't we catch a break? It seems like this year has been hit after hit after hit. In mid-February, someone asked me, what did y'all start doing this year? It's like, what are you talking about? They're like, it's just been constant, something right after another. And I started thinking about what we did. We took up first fruits, $28,000. Gave it to missions. We started prayer meetings Tuesday nights, Thursday mornings. And we're doing what God told us to do, Gail. There were some things that me and Chelsea stepped out and did on our personal lives, and the battle just began, and I'm just like, God, we're in this battle. We're trying to do what you're telling us to do, and there's a battle going on, but the scripture says that we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. We're going to see the battles. But Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God, and we're called according to his purpose for them. He's going to make things right. But why is this happening is the question that we ask. And it's the question that Gideon asked. And the answer to Gideon's question is answered in Judges 6 verse 1. And it says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites were made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and the strongholds. It wasn't because of a spiritual attack or the devil was out to get them. It was because they made stupid decisions and were doing evil, living in blatant sin, complete disobedience. And then they wonder why things weren't going right. Listen, if you're trying to live like the world, it won't matter how many times you come to church. It won't matter how often you pay tithes. If you're not living for God, you're going to hell. Plain and simple. There's no easy way cutting about it. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you will not make it. John 14:6 says, Jesus speaking. It says, he told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I'm not saying if you have bad things happen in your life, it's because you're not living right. But sometimes we give the devil too much credit. In this case, God was giving the Israelites a wake-up call. And there are times that things happen in your life, and it's not because the devil is out to get you. It's because you made a stupid decision, or it's because God is trying to get your attention. Things will happen. God will allow things to happen in your life, Ronnie, because he wants to get your attention. But most of the time, bad things happen in our life because we made stupid decisions. Play dumb games, get dumb prizes. Trying to be nicer. Jesus is the only way we're going to make it. Living for him and being obedient to what he's calling us to do. every time a bad thing happens to you, it doesn't mean that you're living in sin. It doesn't mean that the devil is out to get you. It doesn't mean those things are not. That's sometimes we make bad decisions. But I'm telling you, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you're not going to make it to heaven. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. You won't make it. I've heard people say, well, that guy is such a good guy. Yeah, but he doesn't live for the Lord. He's such a good guy. Well, that's great. But if he doesn't have a relationship with Christ, he ain't going to make it. Judges 6:13. Gideon had a second question. He said, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And then he said, where are the miracles our ancestors told us about? Where are the miracles that our ancestors told us about? I've grown up hearing all these stories about what God used to do, like he's dead. Where are all these miracles? We started the year believing for miracles. For the last 2 years, we have been believing for miracles. And I made a statement earlier this year, and it wasn't a new statement. It was a statement that I've made before. But I said, we all want to see miracles. We just don't like being in the situation that necessitates one. We all want to see miracles. We all want to see God do the great. We all want to see God's glory move. But we don't want to get in a situation where we need it. We like the power. We don't like the getting there. We want to see God move. We want to see God do the miraculous. We want to see God touch and change people's lives. But we don't want to get in a situation that needs one. We like the excitement and the fulfillment of the miracle. We don't like the process of the miracle. We don't enjoy the doctor saying, you have cancer. But when God heals cancer, what then? What then? Kathy, when God heals you, what then? What then? We don't want to necessitate a miracle. But now we're there, and we need one. And we've been praying and believing. And since prayer time has started, I've been praying for you two by name. Because I walk these rows, and I call everyone's name out. And I know you haven't been here every week, but I know where you sit when you come. And I call your name when I walk by the seats because I believe that God is going to do something in your life. And I don't think that this is an accident or a happen chance, but this is a time for you and for God to get attention, your attention. And then God is going to do something in your life. And it's not going to just be for you and Ronnie, but it's going to be so other people see it and other people say, God is real. Some of us have been asking, where are all the miracles? Where are the miracles we grew up hearing about? Why do we hear about miracles that happen all the way around the world? Why can't they happen here? They are. We've seen it. We've seen God move. Taylor is a miracle. What God did in his life is miraculous. In 2022, there was a word that came forth from the Lord that said that this would be a house of miracles. I am still holding on to that word. And I am praying bold prayers because I am expecting bold answers. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. I've been praying some bold prayers this week. I have made some bold asks. And I'm believing for miracles of old to happen today. Gideon said, where are the miracles our ancestors told us about? And then he says, didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. His third question had a statement following it. Didn't the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now he's abandoned us. Where is he now? I've been told all my life how the Lord brought us out of Egypt and how he got us to this land that is our inheritance. But where is he now? How has this happened? Why has this happened? Why has that happened? Where is the Lord now? He abandoned us. He handed us over to the Midianites. The Lord you speak of has departed. I don't know where he is, but he's not here. And that was Gideon's attitude. And some of you have the same attitude. You come into church and you don't expect God to move. Essentially, what you're saying to God is, you're not here. You've abandoned us. You come in and you don't expect God to do anything. You come in and it's just another service. It's just another this. It's just another that. We don't expect God to truly move. And so you know what? He doesn't. He abandoned us. He brought us out of Egypt and now he's just turned us over to the Midianites. He's abandoned us. He's walked away. We're just doomed. There is no hope. Where's he at? The God that did all those miracles, where is he at now? Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest of the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites. If you are fighting as if you were fighting against one man. We all want to see miracles, but when God asks us to do our part or to be obedient, we give him excuses. Go, he said, go with your strength and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you. And his response was, can't do it. How can I rescue Israel? I'm down here threshing wheat under the wine press in a hole because I don't want anyone to see me. I'm the weakest dude in my whole family. And my immediate family is the weakest family in the entire family. I cannot do this. It's impossible. It's improbable. I'm too weak. My family is too this. My grandma even said I can't do it. Even my dog is a scaredy cat. We ain't doing this. I don't want to do it. I'm too scared. I'm too weak. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not smart enough. I can't do it. My life isn't clean enough. Why do people think that they have to be clean before they can come to church? I'm not talking about bathing. I hope you all bathe. But why do people think that they have to have their life right before they can come to church? I've been talking to a guy for 2 months now. And he knows that he needs to get into church. He knows he's like, I know I'm not where I need to be. But I just got all these hang-ups. And I'm like, well, you're not going to get over them until you just walk through the doors. Take a step of faith, my friend. Well, I'm just not where I need to be to come to church. Well, none of us were where we needed to be to come to church. If I waited until I was right before I came to church, I still wouldn't be here. It's just there are things in your life that you have to do before you're ready to do it, or you'll never do it. You're never ready to get married, but you get married. Right? Amen. You're never ready to have kids, but it happens. You're never ready to get right. God gets you ready. Sometimes it's the fact of walking through the door. And when you walk through the door, you're not going to be clean immediately. I've never seen anyone that came through the door that got saved that immediately everything was good in their life, that they didn't have something that they were still working on. I'm not saying that God can't do it, but I'm saying that most of the time, there's still a hang-up or two that you got to work through. I've seen God sober people up in the altar. I've seen God clean people up that were on a crazy high in the altar. But even those people that God did that in their life, when they walked out the door, they still had something that was just a stumbling block. It's not that they were in sin, but there's still temptation there. And there's things that will happen in our lives. We come in and we get right with God, and there's still going to be a temptation there. And we have to fight the temptation daily. Paul says, I have to kill my flesh daily. All right, we'll move on. This is not what I was preaching about today. He literally said that he was the weakest guy in the whole world, though. And that was why he couldn't do what God was asking him. God is telling him, I will be with you, Gideon. I will go with you. Now, I'm the weakest guy in the whole world. Can't do it. I'm going home. I'm going to hide, smuggle my meat, or my wheat out of this hole to my house so that nobody attacks me on the way. Verse 17, Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, he gets past all that. He said, if you're truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it really is you, the Lord, speaking to me. I've been having a 30-minute conversation with you. And now I'm saying, if it's really you, I need a sign. You know, we know when God speaks to us. It's funny to me when people say, I don't know if this is God or not. And then they tell me what and I'm like, who else would tell you to do that? The devil didn't tell you that, that's for sure. He ain't that smart. If you're really going to do what you said you would do, then I need a sign, a billboard, a flashing light, bells, whistles, fireworks. I need to know. We lay 4011 fleeces out. And then still say, nah, that ain't you, God. Gideon was that guy. Gideon is the guy that says, okay, is this really you? Then show me a sign. And God does it. And then a few verses later, he says, let me, I just want to make sure. So I'm going to lay a fleece out here, and I want you to get it wet and it be dry around it. Oh, I'm wrong. Oh, it's wet. I'm still not sure, though. Here, get everything else around it wet and it be dry. It's like we try to test God so much and make it so specific, James, that it'll never happen. Because we don't really want to do what he's asking us to do. And then when it does happen, when we do put so much specific on it, and it does happen, then we're like, ah, no, that wasn't really God, that was coincidence. No. Stop telling God no because you don't want to do it. Stop putting fleeces out knowing that even if the fleece comes to pass, you're still going to say, nah, I don't want to do that. Be obedient to what he's asking you to do. Gideon didn't do that, though. He didn't say no. After he put out the fleeces, all 4011 of them, he said, okay, God, here we go. And then God said, you got too many people with you. Send them home. And half of them went home. You still got too many. It gets down to Gideon and 300 men. God said, okay, now we're good. the odds were 20 to 1. 20 to 1. And they defeated the Midianites. They went against all odds and came out victorious. Why? Because God was with them, just like He said He would be. God's promises aren't dead. God's promises aren't dead. God's words aren't dead. When God speaks a word, it's not dead. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. If there's any sick among you, anointed with oil, and the prayer offered in faith will heal them. Come to me and I'll set you free. Come to me. Lay your burdens on me. His promises are still happening. They're still fact. They're still everything that He promised in the Word is still for us. Because when He speaks words, they continue to the end of time, for all eternity. Because when He speaks, life comes out. When He whispers, it's life. It's life-giving. Gideon goes and he's victorious. He finds victory because God was with him. And this morning, I'm believing that we can find victory. With the help of the Lord, we can find victory. Because the victory is the Lord's. Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet this morning. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for not getting mad at our stupidity. I thank you for allowing us to ask questions. And you just answering them. I thank you for letting us vent to you. Your shoulders are big, God. And Lord, I just pray that this morning that you begin to move in this house. Lord, I pray that I know that there are people in this room right now that are asking the same questions that Gideon asked. That are asking, Lord, if you're with us, why are all these things happening to us? And Lord, I pray that this morning you give them an answer. And maybe you're here and you are asking that question. Maybe you're asking the question, why is this happening to me? I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Maybe some of you are asking the question that Gideon asked of where are all the miracles? We've been talking about miracles and I've heard you preach about miracles, but I've not seen anything with my own eyes. And I want to know where the miracles are. I want to see a miracle. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. Maybe you just feel like the Lord has abandoned you. Maybe you feel like the Lord has abandoned you. Maybe there are things that are going on and it just feels hopeless and you feel like God has abandoned you. I want to invite you to come. But maybe He hasn't abandoned you. Maybe you've just never known Him. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I believe there's some people that need to be in this altar. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Don't let pride and what other people think hold you back. Don't say, well, I don't go to the altar. Well, maybe you should. Maybe you should. Don't miss what God is trying to do in your life. Lord, I just pray right now that you just begin to move across this house, Lord. I pray that you begin to touch and you begin to heal and you begin to deliver this morning, God. Lord, I pray that the people that are here in this room that have come to this altar, God, I pray that you begin to meet their every need. Lord, I pray that the ones that are not here that are still in their seats but need to be, Lord, I pray that you begin to move right now. That you begin to touch, that you begin to change. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so.